Thank you for joining me on the Boise Art Scene podcast. My name is Morgan McCullum. I'm here with Dana Wagner to talk a little bit about her art and what motivates her. Thank you for joining me today.
Thanks so much for having me.
So, first question I'd like to ask is, what's your primary medium?
My primary medium is digital. It used to be really hard for me to get work done before I switched to digital because there's a lot of pressure on artists to use, you know, the paper and the medium the right way. So I think it's hard for a lot of young artists to get started because of that pressure of using like the nice stuff up. But digital's great because you can pick any color, you can use any kind of texture. It's easy to press a button to go back a few steps. So you don't have to make a ton of permanent decisions right away, which is really nice. I like that flexibility.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I myself find digital to be a much easier medium for me to work in. I kind of rely on that undo button. With the digital stuff, do you work like with an iPad? What do you work on there?
Yep, I work with an iPad. The bigger the iPad screen you can get, the better, I think. I prefer to use, I know a lot of people use Procreate on the iPad. I actually prefer Adobe Fresco. It just feels more intuitive to me. It's because I've been using Adobe for so long, using Photoshop and Adobe Illustrator, which are sort of industry standards. So
yeah.
Fresco feels very natural.
I'm not very versed in Illustrator, but I definitely am a Photoshop user. I've never tried Fresco before. After seeing so many artists use Procreate and iPads and stuff, I broke down and got one, and I don't use it as much as I should, but like I said, I've tried Procreate, haven't tried Fresco though. So is it similar in layout then to Photoshop and stuff like that?
Yeah, it has a lot of the same tools. I think Procreate was harder for me to learn just because the interface was so different than Adobe products, which is just what I'm used to using. So sometimes it felt like the functions I wanted on the Procreate were like secrets I had to find, where Fresco felt like I could more readily access the tools that I needed.
Oh, that's a really cool way to put it.
I've used both, and there are things that that Procreate can do that Fresco can't. So sometimes I will need to switch back and forth between the two, but typically Fresco has been making a lot of progress in terms of features, so that's been nice.
I'm not a huge fan of the subscription model that I'm stuck in, but for your subscription, you get constant updates, and a lot of the AI changes and stuff that they've done are really awesome.
Yeah. I remember I was at the Adobe Max conference a couple of years back when they were announcing a lot of the AI features and being a little bit skeptical, like, I don't know if I like that or not.
Yeah, I definitely, for artists especially, I understand the hesitancy. The AI features that I personally use are things like transcription and editing. Like it'll decide when a camera changed or something. You know, it's things like that. I'm not creating from whole cloth with AI as much.
Yeah, I think that's a good way of doing it. You know, using the sort of the technology, the AI to do the sort of the grunt work or the busy work, and then using the human eye to go back and make sure everything looks good. That makes sense.
That's definitely the way that I like to use it. I like to think that it will be used in the future, whether that's accurate or not, who knows. But you're an illustrator. What got you interested in doing that kind of work?
Well, it all started long ago. Now, in first grade, I had a teacher tell me that I was an illustrator because instead of writing my assignments, I always drew pictures for them. And so I learned pretty young what it meant to be an illustrator, which is just somebody who creates images to go along with words. And when I was headed out of undergrad, not really knowing what to do, I was looking at different master's degree programs, and I saw one for illustration, and I remembered, oh my gosh, that's what I used to do and really enjoyed. So I went to specialize in that.
Oh, well, that's really cool. So you did go to school for your art then?
I did.
So you said you got interested in art while you were in grade school. What what got you to get into it or stay in it as an adult?
Yeah, I think staying in it is a better way to frame it, because I think I've always really been into it. I think it's just something that every kid does. And then at some point, we start to sort of get self-conscious about the art we make. There's always kind of an age when you realize, oh, there are people who are way better at this than I am, and you start to kind of use good, bad judgments to to describe your art, but the biggest factor about staying into it is not losing the enjoyment that the actual process is bringing you. So the actual process of making lines on a page or on a screen and coloring them in and making those choices is a fun experience in itself. And then you get some cool art out of it. So I think the trick is just making sure that the sort of the fears and the self-consciousness of realizing that your art is not like the best at any given time. I think that's a really important thing to think about.
Sure. I mean, everybody's always improving. I've one of the earlier artists that I interviewed, Noel Weber, and he's been a sign painter and creator out here for many, many years. And, he one of the things that sticks with me from his interview was he said that like he never regrets anything that he draws. It's always practice, at the very least.
Exactly. Even I think so many young artists have issues with, oh, I'm not ready to share my work. Oh, I'm not good enough to enter this contest. You just have to keep doing it. Like you learn as you go, and that means you make mistakes as you go, but
Fully agree.
that's how you learn. That's how you get better.
Yeah, oh, and I fully agree with that. I think that there's nothing quite like getting out there and doing stuff to learn. So what motivates you to, or where do you get the inspiration for the things that you create?
Well, I'm a big old nerd, so a lot of my inspiration comes from pop culture things. Like, honestly, one of the biggest things I was into as a kid was Pokemon. So I was always drawing my own little characters in Pokemon, and I still draw those things because I think they're fun. Video game stuff and like kind of nerdy school stuff, history. In my undergrad, I did a lot of gender studies, like women's studies stuff. So issues surrounding like women's history are interesting to me. So I guess everything that I kind of enjoy learning about, I like to try and find ways to turn that into art, kind of
Awesome.
as a way of processing the info.
I think that's great. I think that I keep going back to this, but when I've spoken with artists, a lot of times they'll tell me that, art is how they process the world, is how they interpret things. And so for you to say that that's how you are able to process the things that you've learned, I mean, that makes total sense.
Yeah, it is really a way of thinking. It's a like a way that your brain works that's different. So it's not so much like an action that you do. It's a lot of just about who you are and how you decide to make meaning about the world.
Are you able to support yourself with your art? Are you a working artist? Do you do it on the side?
I am one of the few lucky people that's able to support myself with art, and that is luck. I think that there's a lot of really great artists out there who have talent and work hard, but if you don't have a little bit of luck, it's really hard to break in. I do sort of as a day job, I do graphic design and illustration and page layout for a local office. And then my 5 to 9 is the fun stuff, the freelance for clients I want to work for and like the style I want to do. So even if it's not freelance full time, it is freelance a pretty significant chunk of the time. And if I could go fully freelance, I absolutely would.
I like that, the 5 to 9. Yeah, well, and
And
I.
it doesn't feel like another job to me. It doesn't feel like a second shift because it's also what I do for fun. So it's just turning off one part of my brain and turning on another one.
As somebody who is a media production professional in my day job, and then a whatever this is, podcaster, video producer, like in my spare time, as a hobby, I get it,
Yeah, you get it.
sometimes it makes it a little bit harder to get that actual motivation, for myself. Not sure if it is for you, but I was working in news and I started Boise Art Scene to film things that weren't news. And this was different enough, even though I was still creating videos, it was different enough that it kept the interest and kept me going. I'm sure that your day job work is different enough from your recreational work.
When I was in school, some of the advice, this gives you some insight into what the industry is like. Some of the advice I would get from professors and from professionals was, it's going to take you a few years to break into illustration. Find another job, either full-time or part-time, that you can do that still allows you to be creative. So that's like the industry standard is you probably won't be a full-time illustrator right away. You might have to pick an office job or like a retail job to do on the side and figure out, are you fueled by doing creative stuff all day, or do you need to do something different than the art during the day to keep your sort of art excitement fresh for later?
That's a interesting perspective. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you have a favorite piece of art that you've created?
I think one of my favorites is it's sort of a culmination of a lot of different things, but it's the mural I did in Freak Alley, that character I did. It's sort of an alter ego of it's got a little red hair, a little mullet like I do. It's almost like just finding all the weird little cringy things I can to build up this character. It's like it's kind of like a wizard cowboy, and they have a lasso that's a pencil, and their hat has like a little like face on it. And it's just a fun character to develop. And anytime you're working on little weird guys like that, you kind of step back and go, is this too weird? Are people going to like this? And if you're asking yourself that and it makes you uncomfortable, that's a pretty good cue that you are on the right track, I think. And you just have to push through that.
So when did you get to do that piece?
I did that piece this past summer, or this past sort of late summer, early fall.
I'm glad that they're starting to get back into being able to refresh that space a bit more.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that was tricky about when we kind of all got together and were either like picking our spaces or assigned our spaces. It just naturally meant that we were going to paint over other people's stuff. And I don't know if everybody, passing by looking at it was really considering that, but part of it is realizing like someone else put a lot of work into what's underneath this and I'm going to paint over it. And then maybe in a year or two, someone's going to paint over mine and I have to be okay with that because that's sort of the nature of public art.
Yeah, and they've got some in that space that are like kind of the—I don't want to say untouchables, but they've got like
No,
the
there
persistent
absolutely are.
ones.
The Breaking Boise one is never leaving. That one's staying up forever.
but you know, yeah, there are some that I mean, I've been doing Boise art scene for just over 4 years now, and in that time, I've definitely seen pieces in Freak Alley that you know I've discovered and seen them paint over. So. It's an ever-evolving thing, and it's a really neat
I
thing.
wish we could peel back the layers and just see all the different sort of styles and times of art that have gone by, because it's fun to see how the nature of art and illustration changes with time, and just like what's the sort of the style that everybody's leaning towards, because a lot of it I think previously was kind of dark and edgy, almost like Tim Burton inspired kinds of stuff.
Yeah, there's a
And
lot of that there for sure.
I think with folks like Ashley Dreyfuss, like just kind of bringing this color infusion, I think that sort of I like that sort of way of operating as well, bringing lots of color and lots of like silliness into art is really enjoyable for me.
Yeah, I mean that definitely comes through in your work. It's got kind of a whimsical, retro-ish quality to some of it.
Folks who don't know anything about art will just call it cartoony because I think that's their best word for it, which is fine with me. A lot of it is inspired by rubber hose animation. So like
Okay.
back in the day, like with like really early like Mickey Mouse kind of stuff, where the sort of the arms and legs were kind of loosey goosey like rubber. They resembled like a rubber hose. So that was that kind of weird sort of initial animation style that was really big with cartoons. And so a lot of that is an infusion in there. And yeah, looking for stuff that's just a little bit weird and like leaning into feeling a little bit uncomfortable, feeling a little bit cringe. Like those are normal and healthy things for an artist, and you gotta deal with it.
Can you tell me, do you have a website? Is it just your Instagram? Where can people find your
Yeah.
work?
I need to update the website. That's like my kryptonite is remembering to keep that, 'cause that's sort of my professional like portfolio that I send to folks, but it's danawags.com, DanaWags.com. And that's sort of my technical professional portfolio, but the same stuff is on my Instagram, which is at Dana Wags, Dana.wags. And that one includes both professional projects and like little silly fun things that are just a fun experiment, one-off kind of stuff.
That's you got to have that outlet and to practice and to experiment and just to have fun. Are there any Boise specific opportunities you've had, grants or public art opportunities? I mean, you mentioned Freak Alley.
Yeah, Freak Alley's been sort of one of the bigger ones. I started pretty much the year I got here, I started tabling at Boise Comic Arts Fest, which is really fun. That's usually sort of late summer, early fall. And that's sort of like Boise's version of Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's a really fun opportunity to make fan art or make art based on games or movies or comics or things like that. It's primarily for folks who are comic creators or, you know, book creators in some way, but they also have lots of different folks selling stuff. So it's been fun to see over the years, folks coming in and seeing their cosplays and sort of being able to connect with people over really specific niche, like nerd stuff.
Can you talk a little bit about the process of getting selected to paint at Freak Alley?
Yeah, most of the opportunities that I've had here professionally have been because I networked, because I've known somebody who's close to something. It's that old saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really lucky to know and to work with Bobby Gaitan, who is an artist.
Oh, yes.
Very well known in town, very well respected artist, incredible mentor. And he's really plugged into stuff in town. So when art opportunities arise, like, he knows I'm always ready to take on an art opportunity. So he'll send it my way. The Freak Alley was sort of an open call to artists that he mentioned. So it was an online application. You go and talk about yourself and what kind of art you want to make. And Freak Alley is cool because they don't want just really good, high quality, like, professional art. They want all levels. They want mm-hmm. amateurs. They want people of all sort of levels of education and skill to have a chance. The application is more of a screening to make sure nothing is too like X-rated to go on a public space.
Sure.
And then, you know, if they want to see an idea, like see a pitch, basically. So providing with an image. And I was like, I'm getting kind of close to the deadline. I don't know what I want to do. And I realized, well, I've got this weird little character on my business card. Maybe that would be fun to put around town. And it was a good choice because whenever I give out the business card, now people go, oh my gosh, that character's in Freak Alley. And I'm like, yeah, it's me. And it's a whole conversation. But the folks who run the sort of Freak Alley gallery are pretty open about wanting lots of different styles and levels on display. If you're sort of an amateur artist or you just really like making art and wanting to connect with other artists in the community, I absolutely encourage anybody to apply who's interested.
So do you have a dedicated space at home or where you work?
So at home, I have a nice big old desk. It's like a big old like husky work table, actually, which is nice to just have a spot for doing admin work, sending emails, that kind of thing. But because I'm so based on the iPad, and because I also illustrate for fun, I really don't feel the need to stay at the space at all times. You know, anytime there's like dead space in my day and I have my iPad nearby, it's time to draw something. So I've gotten stuff done at airports, hotels, car rides, all sorts of different places. You know, going and setting up at a coffee shop somewhere is always nice, or at the park, which is nice about digital because it's just a tablet, get it charged, get your Apple Pencil, and just go. No worrying about setting up an easel or something like that.
Sure. I mean, it's a lot like a sketchbook without mm-hmm. the
muss exactly,
and fuss.
That's a great way to think about it because I do use it as a sketchbook. I think having the traditional media nearby is nice, but you know, before I had the iPad, if I was to take my sketchbook around anywhere, I might not draw on it. I'm much more likely to draw on the iPad because there's just a lot more options for me.
Sure. Well, and I mean, it's less to carry around, you know, you're mm-hmm. not thinking about all the different mm-hmm. pieces and parts and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know for me, my iPad, I'm able to, my case carries the pencil and everything. It's just yeah. all a self-contained thing.
Mm-hmm. But there is something really special. All that being said, there's something really special about just pen on paper, the feeling of that. Sometimes I mm-hmm. do much better, much more interesting sketches if it's traditional media. It just depends on the mood. It just depends on what's available. I think if you have a napkin and like a packet of ketchup, you can make art. Like you can create on anything because we're just naturally, humans are natural creators. We just like to make stuff.
I saw an online post where a person was complaining about their significant other leaving their hair in the shower, and the person the next day after having an argument or whatever, a discussion about it, they took their hair on the shower wall and drew a guitar with it. And so that was what prompted this online post was.
That's funny. Yeah, it's so fun. The human eye will find interesting shapes and meaning and all sorts of stuff. It's really fun.
Why do you think that art is something important to you?
Geez, are we going to like solve world peace? That is like a... I think that art is important to me. And like, I think all of the things like art's important to me, to the community, to the world. Because like I said, humans make things. That's what we do. We have feelings and then we make stuff with them. Like we're at our core, we're creative, right? We could spend our time just talking as straightforward as possible, eating what's in front of us without any prep, walking to get places, just sitting around and doing nothing. And we would survive, but we not only talk and communicate, we sing and we write and we tell stories. And you could, you know, pick the apple off the tree and eat it, or pick the grapes off the vine and eat it. But we also turn them into like apple pie and wine and stuff. Like we're just naturally creative. So I think it's just necessary for being a human to just make stuff.
So what's next for your art? Where would you like it to go?
Well, the style is always evolving. So there's no real next place I have in mind in terms of like the style or in terms of the subject matter. I think my biggest sort of hurdle as a professional illustrator right now is figuring out just how to be as efficient with social media as possible. Any artist will tell you that Instagram is really difficult for self-promotion and for getting noticed these days. Algorithms change. I think TikTok changed a lot in terms of like what is the preferred form of social media for people. The sort of short form videos are very big right now.
Yeah.
And so if you're an artist and you spend all your time making art, if you want to get eyeballs on it, now you have to kind of put it to music and do a little silly dance with it. And that's even more work, right? Because you just want to make the stuff, but you end up having another job, which is the social media aspect, curating your work for social media. And I have to think, do I want to do that? Or do I want to just make stuff? Because I mean, having a really well curated, well managed social media presence and online shop can get you really nice passive income. But I just have to decide, am I willing to dedicate that much time to like an algorithm or an app that could change at any given moment?
Yeah, it's the scary part about being online for sure. As somebody who does documentaries and stuff, you know, mm-hmm. I tend towards kind of longer form things. But when I was in college, I did like a 30-ish minute documentary about art and stuff. And the like number one feedback that I got was that it was too long.
Oh my God.
And
it's
so
crazy. I sound like just like an old fart, I guess, just like kids don't have attention spans these days. And I absolutely notice it with myself too. Mm-hmm. If people will only give you a couple of seconds of attention before they move on. So, and that's like, that makes me sad because it's hard to be present. It's hard to just exist without being fed content all the time.
Mm-hmm.
For all that being said, social media can be so good. It can be such a good thing for connection, for community, for finding your identity, but it can also just be so toxic, so dangerous.
Yeah, it's a jungle for sure.
That's a good way.
So I've made 50 videos for Boise Art Scene, and they were all 5 minutes plus or minus. And you know, even that anymore is a big ask in the world of TikTok. Yeah. YouTube Shorts is limited to 60 seconds.
Yeah.
How do you get your art seen? How do you get it out there? I mean, we've mentioned Instagram and stuff. How else?
What's interesting and unique about illustration compared to other forms of art is that it's an applied art as opposed to a fine art. So illustration's always been intended to be functional in some way, right? It's something that accompanies words. The best way to sort of get illustration seen is to find opportunities to put your illustrations with words or with products. So like advertising used to be sort of the domain of illustration. Stickers and books and flyers, repeat patterns on clothing, packaging design, those are all kind of good avenues for illustration as opposed to like a gallery or a fine art space, which illustrators absolutely show in shows like that. But if you're looking for opportunities to get eyeballs on your artwork, it's good to look for opportunities for applied art.
One of the things that is always gives me a little bit of solace anyway is just nothing ever pleases everybody. You know, there's always somebody that's got, it's not the right color of brown or, you know, whatever. It's not, there's always
I hear
something
it
for somebody.
every single day because my style is so specific in terms of it being really kind of juvenile, kind of childish, kind of silly, whimsical in a lot of ways that it's not a great generalized style for lots of different stuff. It's very niche. But one of the phrases I heard a lot in school was there's a market for everything but indecision. So if you're drawn to a specific style or a specific kind of subject matter you like to portray, keep it up and get into it because if you can kind of hone in on a niche or on like a specific specialty, I mean, you've got it.
Most of the artists that I've spoken with who do support themselves through commissions or things like that, it's they're normally niche artists, and they're also not afraid to dig into not necessarily following pop culture trends, but they're not afraid to try something new or to try something that might be a little more I don't know, off their beaten path normally.
Yeah, I think it's good to try those pop culture trends, but put your spin on it. I think that's really fun. Like instead of sort of changing your art to fit the trend, see how you can sort of bend the trend to fit what you do.
Looking at your Pokemon drawings, you know, they're very stylized,
Yeah.
you know,
That
but
was such a challenge for me as somebody who kind of has had like a special interest in Pokemon for so long and always been inspired by that kind of art style. It was a real challenge for me to get out of thinking of how they looked in the official illustrations and like challenging myself, like, okay, that's how the artist did it, but how would Dana do it? And trying to really pull forward that sort of personal style. And if I realized I was getting too sucked into trying to make it look perfect, I would just start over.
well, and now that you've mentioned the that childish, you know, I'm not saying that your work looks childish, but it does kind of remind me of like something that you might see in like a children's book, like the illustrations of that, you know.
Yeah, that's absolutely appropriate to say because I do model a lot of what I think of, you know, off the way that kids work. Like every artist has their own shape language, their own way of drawing specific objects and handling color. And I've worked a lot on cultivating my shape language, looking at stuff in real life and saying, well, how would I translate that into a really fun style? And referring back to how did you stylize things as a kid? Like when a kid draws a sun, like the sunshine in an art project, they put it in the corner with rays coming right out of it and a pair of sunglasses, right? How can you zhuzh that up? How can you make that part of your style?
I like that. I don't know, some of these have got kind of like that that print sort of feel to them, like that lino cut almost style.
Yeah, I like a lot of texture in my work. I think that's really, really, I think it's tasty, for lack of a better term. So any sort of like pastel or chalk texture, crayon, printed, like you're saying, kind of that sort of noise, that risograph effect. I mean, that's the joy of digital is I can create those effects without actually having to go and interact with those physical media. Like I don't know how to make lino cuts or prints or anything like that, but I can mimic parts of that that I like.
And like you said, that's one of the great things about digital is being able to do some of that more things than you might be able to in the physical realm. Do you think that art is something that you'll ever stop doing?
What do you think?
I mean, if I'm going by past experience on any artist that I've spoken to so far, I'd assume no.
Absolutely not. Like it's impossible. Like you can't quit doing art because it's a fault. It's the way you look at the world. So even if I like get arthritis or dementia or something like that, I'll find a way. Like I'll figure it out. Like and then it'll be really cool, like as a gimmick, because people will be like, look at this artist with arthritis and like no hands and they're making art. How inspiring. And like that's money right there.
So, is there anything that you would like to talk on that I haven't touched on?
Oh, good question. I mean, I could talk about Pokemon all day. If I could like just give a word of advice to folks, like if you're like a young and upcoming artist, or if you're just trying to figure out how to be more creative in your everyday, I'd love to share some of my like experiences and insights on that.
Yeah, by all means.
I would just like to say that the most crucial thing that you can do genuinely as somebody who wants to be in a creative career or just live a lifestyle where you're engaging in creativity as play or as hobby, the best thing you can do is to find community with other artists, staying connected with people who are also creative, looking for opportunities to meet creative people. That could be like classes and workshops. That could just be like your friends getting together to drink and draw even. I do a little critique group with some of my art school friends every other week, and we just go through what's going on in our creative practice. What are we working on? Where can we encourage each other? Because when you're doing this for a living, you're going to be competing with a lot of people, but they're also going to be your best teachers and your closest friends. Like most of the time, it's hard to kind of put your walls down and encourage people when they get opportunities that you wanted. But there's always a chance to learn from the people around you, and staying consistent with a group of other artists as a community has been hugely helpful just for me, for my mental health, especially, during the pandemic. That was crucial, and pushes me to work hard and pushes me to keep getting better. And it's just fun. It's just fun to be in community with other artists.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's like you said, it can be difficult when you see somebody get an opportunity that you were really hoping to get, but
And on the reverse of that, every once in a while, you're the one who gets the opportunity as opposed to someone else. And when you do, when that's happened to me, I get excited. I'm like, oh, I want to go tell my art friends because they'll understand how excited I am and how big this is. And I want to be able to do that and have the response be, congratulations, I'm really happy for you. I'll get you next time, though. So if that's the response that I want, then that's the response I should also be figuring out how to give others.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. I think that the community works a lot better when it's a community and not a bunch of competition. I mean,
Yeah,
competition
I
is
get
good and healthy,
healthy competition.
but as long as it's not aggressive competition, I guess.
And I think that there's no such thing as being better or worse than someone at art because I think it's all subjective. I think, what works as a submission to one competition or one gallery is not going to work in another setting. Like everybody's different in terms of what they bring to the table, in terms of what aspects of their art appeals to different people.
I've spoken with many artists that are gallery artists. I've spoken with artists that don't want to be in galleries. I've spoken with artists that have been in non-traditional galleries. There's places like Flying M and Studio Boise and places that will host, things that aren't a landscape or a horse portrait or something, not
I
to say that
think
that's just what the galleries here. We have a huge variety of galleries here, which is really awesome.
there's definitely a big split between sort of what's considered like good art to most people versus sort of more, I guess, the art I prefer. So if you go to any sort of like art-based thing, I mean, and this is true for just about anywhere, and it's an art-based sale or an art-based event, you're probably going to see a lot of those landscapes and watercolors because that's when people think of art, that's where their mind goes.
Absolutely. And not to say that there's anything wrong with
Oh,
landscapes
absolutely. That
or
takes a lot of skill and
what.
dedication to do. I wish that people had a more expansive idea of what it means to be an artist as opposed to just that one specific type of art. I think that the fact that art gets taken out of education a lot, or people kind of decide, well, I'm not creative or I'm not good enough, so I won't be an artist. I think that thinking of the world in that way is an issue. I think that it makes me sad, that a lot of people could have a lot of fun drawing and painting and sculpting and being creative, but the idea that there's a right and wrong way to make art.
I'm definitely a believer in arts being an important part of education. I think, as a high school student, I very nearly did not finish my freshman year. But then, you know, my sophomore year, I ended up in a charter school that was new at the time, and it was art based. Mm-hmm. And the weird loser kids in the normal school were the cool kids at the charter
yeah.
school. And it you know, turned things around for me. I wasn't a traditional artist in that sense, but, you know, I was surrounded by them. And
yeah,
having all that creativity around you and being around mm-hmm. other people that are into it, it's, yeah, it, there was nothing quite like it. I wouldn't have finished school I wouldn't have finished school as well as I did if I hadn't had that.
There's a specific type of shenanigans that goes on when you get too many kids together that are too creative for their own good. Like, it's a very distinct kind of mischief. It's a blast, though.
So one more time, can I have you tell me where they can find your work? So your website, your social media.
Mm-hmm. I'm most active on Instagram. You can find me at dana.wags. Please feel free to reach out if you have questions about my work, or if you just want to talk about stuff, or if you want to tell me your favorite Pokemon, that would be cool. If you want to look at more of my sort of professional applied stuff, that's at danawags.com. Otherwise, catch me around town, I guess.
Excellent. Well, Dana Wagner, thank you so much for joining us today, or joining me today on this. I really appreciated having you on. So thank you very much for listening, and be sure to check us out at BoiseArtScene.com. Subscribe on your favorite podcast platform. Leave us a review. That helps. And we will see you next time.
Comment your favorite Pokemon.